the witnesses, I think that a material reason other than an exploratory search ought to be given to the court before it issues process, and then the $5,000 that are available in Mr. Foreman's possession, as I understand the information given to me, ought to underwrite the expense of this trip rather than the taxpayers of the state of Tennessee, if the court sees fit to issue this request.
Let me ask you this question. Are there any state witnesses on this list that's been given here by the defense if they want to take the depositions? Are there any witnesses or any officers or anyone else that knows anything about a search and seizure or any search and seizure made in Atlanta, Georgia?
Your Honor, the only place I find it here is a rather with the name Frank Hitt. Now, whether he's in charge of the Federal Bureau of Investigation's office in Atlanta, Beasley says that he is. So, Your Honor, I don't, from my knowledge of this case, I know that Mr. Hitt did not participate physically nor manually in any kind of search of any kind. We do know, as Mr. Beasley has informed me now, Mr. Hitt is the agent in charge of that office in Atlanta. Was up until whenever we were there in October, September.
Well, did he have anything to do with the search?
Not that I know of, Your Honor. Not that I have any knowledge of. He is the head of that office. There was a search made in Atlanta that FBI agents participated in. Mr. Frank Hitt, as far as I know, did not in any way participate physically nor manually in that search.
Did he have anything to do with any search warrant issued or any,
No, sir.
Anything of that kind?
No, sir.
Without a search warrant made by officers acting under the direction of Frank Hitt of a residence, a room allegedly rented by James Earl Ray in Atlanta. And it is believed that we have undertaken to get the names of the actual agents and been told that it would only be available under the orders of the court, either by deposition or otherwise. Whom we should have to subpoena, we were told the agent in charge would have to be Frank Hitt. In addition to that, Your Honor, J.D. Garner, 107 14th Street, Northeast, Atlanta, Georgia.
Is this on this list?
Yes, sir. It's the name, same page, of the last page. We believe, if we're permitted to take his deposition, we'll testify that not only was the room rented to James Earl Ray, this James Earl Ray, but that the only matters that were found in that room, and that the rent was paid through the day that the search was made, that the officers had been there, the FBI agent, several days in advance, and had been surveilling the mail of this defendant with the cooperation of J.D. Garner. And if we are able to offer the testimony of either Mr. Hitt or the names that he gives us, the only way we know how to get them, the only way we've been relegated to getting from him through this process, if we are able to prove those facts, then matters that now appear through what we think and is in the Federal Bureau of Investigation overhanded magazine article, which purports to say that these items were found in some storage room some 2 weeks later than they were found in the room of the defendant, that it would be of very material assistance to this court in ruling properly on the admissibility of those items. And for that reason, we think, although we don't believe that we should be required to reveal our side of the case to, as distinguished from their revealing that to us on proper motion. We nevertheless, in view of the court's query, do tell the court. Now, the same thing is true to a greater or lesser degree, not on search and seizure, Your Honor, but all of the witnesses. One of the witnesses here that he says he doesn't intend to write, but whose name he gave us as one of his witnesses, has testified, at least has been quoted in papers as saying that the person who bought the gun at the Arrow Marine, where U.L. Baker is the owner, was an Italian with wavy hair, which does not comport with the description of this defendant at all, and would be very material evidence if I were on the jury.
We'll get to a number of things in a few minutes.
Well, at any rate, I'll dispose of that at this time. Your Honor, that $5,000 is on deposit in a bank in another trust fund. And the expense of this case, if it were to come within, from a defense standpoint, if it could come within the $5,000, there'd be some merit to the argument of Mr. Dwyer. But the expense, the actual out-of-pocket expense for the trial of this case, if we are obligated to bring in witness here, for the defense alone, will run $50,000 or $100,000, Your Honor. And we intend to report to the court and to give the court cancel checks for every item of expense in this case if the court will receive and review them. Because I want to say at the conclusion of this trial that I did not receive anything for my part of this case. It is true that this $5,000 he speaks of was paid. It was due under a previous contract between the previous attorney, the defendant, and Mr. Huey. And Mr. Huey has permission to pay it. But that's all that has been paid, Your Honor. And as of today, I have no reason to believe that anything else will be paid. It was already accumulated. It was due under this contract to have been paid December the 12th. And it was paid as soon as we would permit Mr. Huey to do it. And that's the $5,000, but it will not go anywhere near the compensation. Actually, we already have accumulated alleged bills more than twice what the $5,000 will amount to. And now, going on to the other witnesses here, we at least hope this court does not, taking our cue from the argument of the prosecuting attorney, believe that anybody can prove any fact, either from the Missouri State Penitentiary or elsewhere, that we are obligated to what the court, prosecution believes will be a favorable witness to prove that fact by. And we think, entitled to whatever genius might obtain in the counsel selected by the defendant, that he may use that judgment rather than that of his prosecutors. And we believe that effective representation of counsel contemplated by the Constitution of the State of Tennessee and of the United States of America contemplates that defense counsel shall have a right to determine from what witnesses he would prefer to have testimony that might help the defendant produce. And the mayor, that someone else might be more accessible to the state does not satisfy that fundamental principle of representation by an attorney of one's choice. General for dragging down a straw man to destroy it and argues his case from the newspapers I don't see the name Bell on here at all. Yet, a great deal of his argument was referenced to the last three witnesses, or four, the last three before because we have kept Your Honor at 5, as we thought was it in a sense of Your Honor's direction that we keep the 45 and part of the support. We have done everything within our power, including sending a $34.05 or so many pounds and shillings cashier's check to attempt to buy that. We were told first that it had been furnished. Previous counsel, we were told by him that it had not been. But this man, Bonebreath, has made public speeches in the state of Kansas or somewhere in the Midwest with reference to alleged, that is, that, again, we're getting to the news dispatches, which we know are not always accurate. That's why we want to explore it under oath, which could be highly persuasive in counsel. Determination as to the disposition of this case.
Bonebreath is going to have to talk to me a little late.
All right, sir. At any rate, he, as being a federal agent, does not give him any sanctity that is beyond the power of reaching a district.